All right. I actually did come last week. I don't know if anybody else did. Was anybody else here? Were you here? So I got here a little bit late. I called at 8:03. I was at Alameda.
Oh.
And caught in Alameda and Leedsdale. And I saw it was going so slow that I wouldn't be there at 8:10 because the traffic was, I mean, it was just, you know, so slippy and slidey. Mm-hmm. So I just called the rabbi to say, I'm coming. But I'll probably be like there at 8:15. I had to get here at 8:18. It took 15 minutes to get from.
Could you imagine? She couldn't possibly have made it. So we all went into the rabbi.
Right, so I told the rabbi. Oh. I called him on his cell phone and I told him that I was going to be here late.
He may not have registered that you were in her class.
Right, he probably didn't click.
And so I told the secretary, I said, have you heard from Eliza?
Yeah.
She should be here.
Well, I know. So I was here, but so the two of us studied by ourselves.
Oh,
so I did not record it, so you won't be able to listen to a recording to make up. So so we're going to do last week and this week together. So, which is really, I guess we're doing week 2, 3, and 4 together. Since, whatever. So what I wanted to do this time is we talked about those four stages, and I brought these sticky notes, and I really see that, let me just use your sitter for show and tell. The way that Haya has arranged her sitter is really great. Look at these sticky things that she has. They are see-through, the sticky part. So you can stick it on the page and you can find the spot that you want. Mm-hmm. So she has it tabbed. She has it tabbed so she knows where, this is her table of contents on the top and the side, so she can find things easily. And she knows where it is. So.
No, I just need all the help.
As you engage in making the sitter your friend, those can be friendship aids, you know, to get sticky notes like that. Meanwhile, what I brought was these little page tabs, and I specifically brought three different colors, four, I didn't have a fourth of these, but four different colors, so that you could tab off the three sections of the steps going up, the fourth section on the top, and the three sections going down in the same color, so you could do, so at least you could see that division kind of. So, if everybody wants to, you only need two of each color if you just want to take your colors going around. You can just tab it and then switch it to your own sitter at home, or at least you'll have the kind of, the mapping of what's going on. So, I just want to map in the sitter to show you what that looks like, you know, turning the pages. And then we'll go back and look at a little bit of
the... But only one of these, right?
One of those, that's correct. Right. So I guess the first part then doesn't really start with the waking up in the morning, but rather with the morning blessings. So depending on your sitter.
No, mine starts with kindling the Sabbath lights.
You have a Sabbath sitter then?
I guess so.
You don't have the weekday one?
No, I have some weekday prayers at the weekday mincha.
You do?
Yeah, and I have the blessing after meals.
You have the weekday mincha because it's a Sabbath sitter, and for a Sabbath prayer, you start with a weekday mincha, and then you go into the Sabbath. So, turn to Sabbath morning in yours. So that'll be kind of in the middle. Sabbath morning prayers. And we'll map out the morning, you'll see. So you'll be able to find the morning blessings. So this perfect segue. It's excellent that you brought that sitter, because really what I wanted to do in week 2 was map out the weekday prayers, and week 3 show you how it's parallel in Sabbath. So we're doing that both together right here. Because you have the Sabbath sitter, we have the weekday sitters, and you'll see how it's the same. The actual skeleton of all morning services is the same. And the guts are different, but the skeleton is the same. So it starts out with the morning blessings. So take whatever color tab you want, and that's your first step is the morning blessings. And that section lasts all the way through until Baruch She'amar.
So is that the one we call Asiya?
Yes, that's Asiya. Excellent. Oh no, it lasts until, yeah, Baruch She'amar is Psukei de Zimra. So there's a Kaddish.
Through or to?
It lasts until.
Okay.
So until
Baruch She'amar.
But I don't see Baruch She'amar in here. Where is it? Psukei de Zimra the Hall.
It's then I have
down.
I
just like that much.
Psukei de Zimra is, sorry, Baruch She'amar is not. Baruch She'amar, wait. Baruch She'amar. But where is it? So the Kaddishes in general divide up the service. That's Mitzvah Shir Chanukah to Bayit. Okay, here I have. Oh, it's saying it's Psukei de Zimra before. It's interesting.
Mine still says it's specific.
Didn't remember before that, right?
After Baruch Shamar.
Yeah, until right. Baruch Shamar is the beginning. But what I'm looking at is here it says some that's from before.
Right, mine does too.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Let's start.
Okay, so we can either go by Art Scroll, which is the main halachic decisor of this generation, I think.
Do you have the same one that I do? Do you have the Schottenstein?
Yes, but I have, this is the weekday one.
Oh.
Do you see Baruch Shamar in there? Do you want me to help you find that?
Maybe.
You can look on the top, right here, on the top of the Art Scroll Sitters.
Yeah.
Would it still say morning blessings?
Right. Right, so after the morning blessings, on the top of the page, in the Art Scroll Sitters, right here, it says which section of the prayers you're in.
The Akedah.
Sukkei Dezimra. So past the Akedah. The Akedah is still part of the morning blessings.
Blessings of morning blessings.
It's part of that. It's part of that practical first chunk. Okay.
Offerings.
Offerings. That's still part of the. That's still morning blessings.
Are we going to start here? Or are we going to start?
Up to you. Up to you. Then Sukkei Dezimra. I'd say, let's put it this way. It says in the Siddur that Sukkei Dezimra starts before Baruch Shamar, but Baruch Shamar is the official starting point. So you can put your flag on either place. Whatever you want.
So wait a minute now. This is after the Akedah.
After the Akedah.
Yeah, she said it's after the Akedah.
After Shema.
After the first Shema,
after
which
first
we will talk about that. That's the secret Shema. After the offerings.
After the offerings. 13 rolls.
Keep going.
After the 13 rolls.
I think I have the wrong one then. I'm not finding all these things.
I'll help you. Okay, good. Baruch Shamar, Rabbi's Kaddish, excellent. Okay, so you have, here's the morning blessings, Shachar Seris, that's the secret Shema, which we'll talk about. Because what we're looking at is chunks. We want to chunk it up right now. Shachar's, Warner's Kaddish, and Pesukei Dezimra.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So there you go. So now you can put your next color flag there, not that one.
All right. Pass the flags around again.
Yeah, you need two of each color. Here's the stack of flags.
So what do we do? Where do we put the second flag?
Okay, the second flag put next to Baruch Shamar or Pesukei Dezimra, you get to decide. Okay. It's that's to chunk out the Pesukei Dezimra, so you can see that's. So put your next color there.
Where is that?
Okay, so you have a Kaddish here.
I haven't gone far enough.
And then.
Right
here. You don't have to mark the Kaddish right here.
Yeah.
Pesukei Dezimra. Okay, so Baruch Shamar, so that's your next chunk. Okay, Pesukei Dezimra. Okay? That means, and we'll talk about it, we're going to go over each one. That means verses of Zimra. And I'm saying that specifically, so that can be translated in a few different ways. So the way that it's classically translated is songs of praise. But we'll get another translation soon. Okay, that section lasts until Baruch Hu. It really lasts until the Kaddish before Baruch Hu, because the Kaddish separates the two sections here. So it lasts until the end of Yishtabach. So that's right before Baruch Hu. Who needs help finding that? Baruch Hu, there you go. So what we're going for next is the Shema, the beginning of the Shema and its blessings section, which begins here. So that's the beginning of the next section. But just so you know,
all
right, so you don't want two flags there because you're going to use the second flag. I don't know, you put this, that's Baruch Shamar. Good, so don't flag the Kaddishes because you're going to want to be able to see that it matches. All right, and when you put this one here, yeah. So really this one will go a little bit later. Because that's the preliminary wake up in the morning stuff that's not part of the morning blessings. So really right here is the beginning of the morning blessings. That's morning blessings. And save this one for going down. You'll see what we're doing.
Okay?
Yeah. Now you found Baruch Hu, right? Did everybody find that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now flip over to the end of this, which is right before the Shemona Esrei. So if you find the Shemona Esrei, right, that's Shema going So you see there's Shema. So you have the blessings before the Shema itself, the blessings following the Shema, leads right up to Shemona Esrei. Okay, so that's it. So here's Shemona Esrei. So now put your big flag on top. That's Shemona Esrei.
Okay.
And that means that morning service.
That's the heart of the morning service. So that's the pinnacle. That's the top of the mountain that we drew out last time. Okay. Keep turning your pages. It's still Shema. Keep going. There you go. Shemona Esrei. And that's one goes there. Yep. Okay, and now the same color that you used for the last section, whatever color you chose, for your Shema section is the color that you're going to use next. Okay, so you should have probably the yellow one should be, the yellow big flag should be your Shemona Esrei section. The same color you used for your previous section, for your Shema section, is what's going to be used next. And that is, let's see, I have to find it now. That's the Asherei Uba'al Tzion. So it's after Torah reading, really is its whole own parenthetical section that doesn't count in this map. So really, the Shema section goes through Tachanun, just so you know, technically. That whole pinnacle part lasts through Tachanun. Avinu Malkeinu is part of Tachanun that we often don't say. But you'll see on the top of the page, it says Tachanun, and then there's a half Kaddish. That half Kaddish is the end of that pinnacle part. So you have Shemona Esrei, Tachanun, up to that half Kaddish. After which, there's the Torah service. That's its whole own thing. If you had another flag, you could tear a yellow one in half or something, you could mark the Torah service. But we're not mapping that, really. That doesn't count in this four chambers up and four chambers down, four steps up, four steps down map.
So the Tachanun...
Tachanun is the end of the first. So really, you could count that the end of the fourth, which is also the first. Remember we talked about the four, right? Mm-hmm. So it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, but 4 is also 1, and the 1, 2, 3, 4 going down. So 2 going down will be the same color as 3 going up, yeah, which is Asherei Uba'al Tzion. Now, if you don't have a... now you may come to some confusion depending on the type of sitter that you have. I don't know if you have Ashkenaz or Sfarad. Do you know, Jana? Do you have Ashkenaz or Sfarad? Not Sfardic, but...
I think it's Ashkenaz.
Because Sfarad is also Ashkenaz. Everybody knows that, right? Ashkenaz. There's Sfardic and Sfarad are two different things.
Well,
are you aware of that? Sfarad is a subset of Ashkenaz, which is more Hasidic and Kabbalistic, but it's still Ashkenaz. So, for instance, Zera Abraham on the west side davens Nusach Sfarad, whereas the yeshiva on the west side davens Ashkenaz. So they're very close, but there's a few differences. Whereas Nusach Sfardi, or Eidot Mizrach, that's completely different. Not completely different. It actually is structured the same, but it does look different. People who aren't familiar can get lost in a Sephardic sitter, even if they know an Ashkenazic or a Sfarad one. They are different. So there's three prevalent traditions. I guess the Nusach Ha'ari is also a subset of Ashkenaz, which is really a subset of Sfarad. Nusach Ha'ari is a subset of Sfarad, which is a subset of Ashkenaz. Anyway, Asherei and Uba'al Tzion is what we're looking for, and this follows...
I don't think I have that. Okay. Different.
Yes, you do have an Asherei. That's fine. You have an Asherei, and let's see... Actually, you're not going to have Uba'al Tzion because you're looking in the Shabbos one. Uba'al Tzion on Shabbos is in Mincha. But you should have Asherei. Yeah, that's good. Good, that's fine.
No. It's just a different Asherei, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another Asherei, an additional Asherei. So that's fine. You keep going. Excellent. That's fine. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi. Come on.
Okay, so Asherei Uba'al Tzion, that's your section number 2, so that should be the same flag as your third flag going up the ladder. And next comes, let's see, Yeah, Aleinu is the last one, but so in between. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's see. And we have the Shir Shel Yom, the daily psalm.
After that?
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, so now we have the daily psalm, so that should be the same flag color as your Psukei Dezimra.
So this one here?
I'm sorry, say
the Song of the Day. Song of the Day is your same flag color as Psukei Dezimra.
We're with
you. Good. And finally, Aleinu, which is the same flag color as the Morning Blessings. Mm-hmm. Okay, does anybody need help finding anything?
What was the last one?
Aleinu.
Aleinu.
Which will be the same flag color as your Morning Blessings.
Okay.
Good, okay. Now you should be able to kind of hold your pages up and see that you have, right, a 1, 2, 3. That's the same thing as a 3, 2, 1, right? That's okay.
Did you find it in the art scroll store?
Yeah, Aleinu.
Uh-huh.
Keep going. It's right at the end of Shacharit. Oh, happy to find it.
At the end of Shacharit. Okay, and I just didn't go for it.
Yeah. So it's before that. Grace after
right.
meals is after
right.
you eat already.
Right.
That's breakfast time.
Right.
I'm just... Sarah, to deeper, it's going to be, and it's going to be anima means. These are all extra stuff that you say after Aleinu if you have the time or you feel like it.
Okay.
Let's see. All right, where did it go?
That's a
song of the day. Okay, where did it go?
Oh, I was going to say,
are there missing
like
pages?
Missing.
171 and 70.
I don't know.
And 68, no.
No.
Should be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It should be before the 13 principles of faith.
Mm.
Right, that's exactly it.
Aleinu, where are you?
Is it after this? That's would be unusual if it's after that. Chapter of the month. No, that's all after service. Weird. I don't see it.
It's before, in mine, somebody. It's before the Song of the Day.
Oh,
oh it is?
158.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the confusion is that we are using the map that is used by that's more Kabbalistic, that's used by the Nusach Sfard.
Yes.
And you are using a Ashkenazic Siddur, which has the order changed.
Mm.
So you'll just have to trust me on this, that in Nusach Sfard it goes like that. You have a Nusach Sfard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's our shul, Tav Nusach Sfard.
So actually, this in my... I have an art scroll at home.
It just depends on which Nusach it is. Nusach is the...
Yeah, I see that in the front. It says, yeah, okay.
No, it says Ashkenaz. So you probably have... Well, who knows what you have at home, if you have Ashkenaz or Sfard, which are both Ashkenazic.
Yeah, this is Nusach.
Ashkenaz.
Where would it be?
Nusach just means...
In the very front.
It says Nusach Ashkenaz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes it will say on the spine, too.
It'll say on the title page, and sometimes it says on the spine.
Right here.
Yeah, see, mine right here says Sfard.
Well, we'll have to see which one comes.
Right there.
Right there?
I knew where the Song of the Day.
Oh, this says the Ashkenaz.
Right, right.
And then it says RCA.
Right, okay. So yours is Ashkenaz, so that order is a little different. So we're talking about the order of this Nusach Sfard. And the reason why Nusach Sfard is a little different is because it does go more according to the Kabbalistic traditions. And Ashkenaz does not. So,
No wonder this religion is so confusing.
It's very confusing.
Oops, I'm sorry. Oh, God, it's all
about. Okay. Anyway, you see where it is. So, even if in a Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur that you have, so you can still learn the theory of the three steps up and the three steps down, the fourth step at the top, but it's a little bit mixed up, especially in the end. So in the beginning, it's the same for Ashkenaz. In the end, it's a slightly different order. Okay. So take your flags home and transfer them to whatever siddur you have, And we'll talk again, we'll just review again the steps later on, but meanwhile, this class is supposed to be about the waking up part, the morning blessings, and the Psukei Dezimra. So the first two chunks we're going to be looking at. So let's flip back to the first two chunks. And there's really a pre-chunk as well. So we're going to talk about right through Psukei Dezimra. Okay. So we start off, so this is the realm of Asiya that we talked about, the practical realm, the first chamber on our pathway up to holiness, the top prayer, the Shemona Esrei. So this is step one, practical, physical. Everything's being manifest here. So you start out by waking up in your bed, right? So then that's the first prayer that's in here on the first page is Mode Ani. Does everybody see that?
When my daughter was, she's 29 now, when she started Hebrew school here, I was also beginning like mm-hmm. she was, and having forgotten everything I learned in Hebrew school. And when we were doing this prayer, I didn't know it was Lefanecha, so I taught it to her as Lefani Shah.
Well, now you read Hebrew, right? And now you can, and now you know, Lefanecha. So this happens to be a very beautiful prayer. And unfortunately, I would love to do a longer prayer class with everybody or whoever's interested, but we have half an hour for these, so we're just kind of breeze through. But I want to just point out, in this particular prayer, even if this is the only prayer you say for the day, this is so gorgeous. So you wake up by saying, first of all, you're identifying yourself. So at the same time that you say thank you, you're saying, I am a thanker. So you start off your first breath. This is supposed to be your first breath when you wake up. The first thing you say before you greet anybody else is you just say this one sentence. So you're saying, Moda ani lefanecha. You can translate that two ways. One is, I gratefully thank you. And the other is, I am a thanker. That's who I am. I'm labeling myself. That's who I am. I'm a thanker. And that's what Jew is. Yehudi, it's the same root as Moda. We are named after Judah, Yehuda, the fourth son of Leah. And she's the fourth son. If you remember, Jacob had four wives. Four wives are supposed to be 12 tribes. So 12 sons are supposed to be born to four wives, which means really each one should get three. Right? 12 times 3, 4 times 3 is 12. So now when she has number 4, which is more than her share, she names that son Yehuda. And she says, this time I'll thank Hashem. That's a whole long thing, but anyway, that's the son we're named after. We're not called, you know, if you think about it, we're called Jews, which is really Yehudim, right? We're not called Benjamites, and we're not called Shemanites, and we're not called Levites as a group, and we're not called Yosefites. We're Yehudim. So we're named after that. And Lehodot, Todah, the same root as thank. We're thankers. So we're right away saying thank you. That's the first thing, and that's our identity. That's our who we are. We're thankers. Who am I thanking? I'm thanking you before you. We don't say God's name yet because our hands have tuma on them, which we'll talk about in a minute too. So we don't say God's name. We just say, I'm thankful before you, King, everlasting King, Melech HaRakayim. So that's not God's name. That's just identifying God, putting a label on God. Why am I thankful? Shehechazarta, that you returned, be, to me, into me, Nishmati, my soul, the Chemla, with gifts. Rabba emunatecha. Here's this word, emuna. Emuna, mistranslated in English as faith, really means faithfulness. Because it can't be, if it's faith, it can't be great is your faith, addressing God. God, you believe in me. I exist. That's not a question. Not like you have to trust that I exist. Great is your faithfulness, is that you, not only have you woken me up, not only have you returned my soul to me, today, and not only have you given me gifts, chemla is the tools that I need for the day, not only have you given me gifts, but you trust me to use them well. That's why you gave them to me. So you have faithfulness to me, you trust in me. So your first words are, thank you for waking me up, thank you for giving me what I need for the day, and thank you for having faith in me that I could achieve what I need to achieve. It's an amazing thing. Just this one sentence, it has a lot in it. So, why don't we say God's name during this part? We have Tuma on our hands. Tuma, and again, we can't go into a whole long explanation, but basically, I hate to translate the words because they're so poorly translated in English, and there is nothing, we don't have an English equivalent. So I'll translate them in phrase form. So tuma is lessened ability to achieve spiritual goals. And tahara is heightened ability to achieve spiritual goals. So now that I gave you the phrases, tahara. Tahara.
Same as tahara?
Tahara. That's right. That's right. Tahara. So it's translated as clean and unclean, pure and impure. Terrible translations. I said it just so you know what we're talking about, but now forget that you heard those words in English, because it doesn't mean clean, and it doesn't mean pure, and it doesn't mean impure, and it doesn't mean dirty at all. It has nothing to do with dirt. It has to do, or unclean, or impure even. It's just that we don't have an adequate English word for it, so we grope for these words. But if you look at what is the cause of tuma, the negative one, the opposite of tahara. So tahara is a higher or more spiritually receptive state, and tuma is a lessened state of spiritual receptivity. What causes that? Life, we're pro-life. We're pro-life people. As opposed to, let's say, other religions around us, or other particular religion around us, which is really pro-death. And they, you know, the Muslims get sanctification through death. They want to die. They, you know, I just learned this week, not only do they get their 72 virgins if they die, so many are willing to die for sex. I actually heard somebody say that, but, you know, he himself as a teenager was willing to die for sex. He wasn't allowed to have sex with other people, so the thought that he would have 72 waiting for him, he was willing to die just for that, right? So not just that, but, and not only is that your for sure ticket into the Garden of Eden, into paradise, but your family's ticket too. If you die as a martyr, not only do you go, but your whole family goes. So isn't that the best thing to do, really? So that death is, they're all about it. Death is great.
That's their marketing tool.
Not us, though. We're all about life. I mean, we keep people on life support to the very last minute. People go through all kinds of torturous treatments so they can have an extra day, an extra hour, an extra minute. If you know somebody's going to die, and everybody can ask their own pull-the-plug questions because there are times to do that. But if you know somebody's going to die and you hasten their death on purpose, even by a few seconds, you're considered a murderer. We don't take away somebody's life. We're all about life, because life is potential for growth. Death is end of potential. So you could see then, putting tuma and tahara together, that life and tahara go together. Potential, spiritual connectivity, that's all one group. And tuma, lessen spiritual connectivity, and death go together. And the least spiritually connective you could be is dead, right? Because then there's no potential. Which means that the most tame is the adjective, tuma is the noun, the most tame thing that there is, the most ritually impure thing that there is a dead body. All the way up to just slightly, slightly ritually impure, slightly tame things. So if we scratch our head, I think we get some dead skin cells on our fingers. That makes you this much tame. You kill a mouse, that makes you this much tame. You go under the roof where there's a dead body, that makes you this much tame. And if you touch a dead body, that makes you the whole thing tame, right? So actually going under a roof of a Jewish body also makes it. So all of us have that. All of us today are ritually tame. So there's still, even with that, because we all have been in contact, we probably were born in a hospital where there was a dead body, so right away you're just born into that state. It doesn't mean that we're not capable of sharing in certain types of prayer and, you know, and spiritual life. It just means there's certain things we can't do, which today is a moot point because the temple doesn't exist. That being said, however, death is the cause of tuma. Why does this have to do with the morning and our hands? Our soul is what animates us. The soul is what gives us life. When our soul leaves us, we're dead, right? When the soul's there, we're alive. At night, when we're sleeping, we're considered 1/60th dead. 1/60th is the amount that makes a difference but doesn't make a difference. It's measurable but doesn't make a difference, basically. So, for instance, if you get 1/60th amount of milk in a meat pot, you're cooking a big chicken soup, and next to it you're making hot chocolate. You serve somebody hot chocolate, but by mistake a teaspoon of the hot chocolate goes in the chicken soup. Is the chicken soup treif or not? If you're heating up one cup of chicken soup, it's treif, because one teaspoon is more than 1/60th of what's in there. But if it's a whole pot of chicken soup and one teaspoon falls in, then it's not treif, because it's less than 1/60th. So 1/60th is a number, right? When we're sleeping, we're considered 1/60th dead. Because part of our soul leaves us. What part of our soul? The part of our soul that goes to get those gifts mentioned in this word, chemla. So part of our soul actually leaves our body at night. It's still connected somehow, but it does leave our body and kind of float around in the nether regions where Hashem gives that piece of the soul. That's the process through which the gifts are given. Gifts are given to our soul through that piece that floats around outside of us. Then it comes back into us when we wake up. The gifts shift down. There's five layers of soul. They shift down from that top layer of soul down to bottom feeling layers of soul. We're not even cognizant of those upper two levels that can leave us. But while it's gone, we're partially dead, which means our bodies have a little bit less life potential while we're sleeping than they do when we're awake. We can't move as much. We can't make as many decisions, right? So we're slightly less full of potential asleep than we are awake. We're in contact with death when we're asleep. When we wake up, the tumah that our body experiences from that life vacuum, because that's what tumah is, really, is life vacuum. Anytime life leaves, it, to any extent, tumah comes, because nature abhors a vacuum, even spiritual nature. Tumah is what fills in the vacuum created by potential leaving. That make sense so far? Okay. So there's tumah on our bodies. Through a straight decree of God, all that tumah concentrates into our fingertips. So from all around our bodies, you can imagine with the special effects that we've seen in movies today, just like the tingling of the lights as it comes down from the whole body and just gets sucked into the fingertips. The fingertips, when you wake up, are toxic, spiritually very toxic. We don't touch any orifice of our body until we've washed them properly. So eyes, ears, nose, mouth, nothing. So if something itches, what you're supposed to do is take your pajamas and go like that. Or if you need to rub your eyes, you go like that. But you don't touch it with your fingers until you've washed. Because the fingers are considered extremely toxic. This is how you wash in the morning. You take your cup that you've seen before with the two-handled cup that you have in your bathroom. Or some people have it next to their bed. Fill it up with water. So you do it like this. Here's your cup. Imagine there's two handles here, but it doesn't even have to be two handles. It can be a cup like this. Fill it up with, you grasp it with your right hand, because your right hand represents your, if you're left-handed, switch this. Right hand represents your Yetzer Tov. So you want to start with your Yetzer Tov.
Switch if you're left-handed?
Yeah, because you're left-handed.
Oh, wow.
Are you a lefty?
No.
Oh.
Yeah,
if you're left-handed, the left side of your body represents your Yetzer Tov.
Okay.
So you do things. Although lefties have to actually ask questions about it, especially with tefillin and stuff. But I think lefties put tefillin on the other side, but I'm not sure.
They do.
They do, yeah. Thank you. So yeah, you switch sides. So lefties switch sides because their dominant side, your dominant side is your good side.
Oh, okay.
Your positive side. So we all have dominant, we have dominant positive and subordinate negative. So you want to start with your dominant side, your right hand. So I'm just going to use right. So you grasp the cup in your right hand saying, I am starting my day off with my Yetzer Tov. Now you stick your cup under the faucet, fill it up. And now you pass it over to your left hand. And if you are awake enough to think this thought, you think to yourself, my Yetzer Tov, my good side, is subordinating my negative side, my Yetzer Hara. Now you have the cup of water full in your left hand. And now you pour, if it's one of those big cups, like the quart-sized cups, you just pour a big splash, enough to cover from here all the way down. So you pour that, I drank it all. I have one drop left. You pour a big splash over. If you just have a cup this side, you should fill it up 6 times. Because you need about this much each time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, here's a drop left, right? So that's number 6. I still have a drop of water in my hand. That is tame water, actually. It's not pure water. This water is the water. The fingers are so toxic that the water becomes so toxic that we don't use that water for anything. So imagine in a time when we drew water from wells, we don't use that water for watering plants, feeding animals. That water is toxic. So that goes out. We don't use it for anything. It goes down the sink. But some of us have a custom to not just do 6 times, but to do 8, 7, 8, so that the water that's left on your hands is not tummy.
So it's a custom.
Right? And that's a custom. 7 and 8 is a custom, but the first 6 is very important.
You can
say Modani before you come.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. You say Modani first, then you get up right away and you wash your hands. So
I also like what you told me last week about how the Yetzer Hara
is serving, right, forgot that. Okay, so this, so I'm leading off with my Yetzer Tov. I am subordinating my Yetzer Hara. I am using my Yetzer Hara to serve my Yetzer Tov. Those are the three thoughts when you start with the washing. So your Yetzer Hara, your negative side, is actually serving your positive side. And that's the life that you want to lead, is a life in which your Yetzer Tov subordinates your Yetzer Hara and your Yetzer Hara serves your Yetzer Tov. So that's the washing. And then you immediately go to the bathroom. I mean, immediately whatever needs to come out should come out, because there's too much inside too, and that's how you get rid of it. So the external comes out from the washing, the internal comes out from going to the bathroom, then you leave. Then...
So it's always eight times, no matter what size the cup.
Eight full splashes, no matter what size the cup.
Six for certain, and then those last
That's
two.
Right, right. Six for certain, and then the last two optional, no matter what size the cup. And each splash should be, I'd say, probably a minimum of 4 ounces, because you need enough to cover from your wrist to your fingertips. Except on fast days, in which case you do it from knuckles to fingertips. Because it actually does concentrate just right here. So on a fast day like Yom Kippur, where you're not supposed to bathe at all, so you don't wash this whole part, you just wash from here down. Okay. That being said, you said Mod'ani, you wash. There's no blessing on that washing. Now, optional verses are here. The Reshit Chachma section, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of Hashem. Some people say that, some people don't, but it's here in the Siddur in case you want to. The following paragraph is for entering the synagogue. Again, not everybody says that. Excuse me, but certainly available for saying. Adon Olam, it would be lovely if we could look at inside, but we're not going to. So Adon Olam is a poem here. Some say it was written by Adam, and prophetically rewritten later on, was channeled. And Yigdal, the Yig, bless you. Yigdal is the 13 principles of faith of the Rambam rendered in poetic form. We'll see that. That's at the end of the prayers too, after Aleinu. The Rambam has his 13 principles of faith enumerated as well, but this is in the song, prayer, poem, Yigdal, the 13 principles are written in just those sentences in poetic form. Those 13 principles of faith were come up by Rambam. I mean, he enumerated those 13, and I think he did it because of the Karaites. Or maybe it was the Frankists. I'm not clear enough on my history, but there was a group opposing, saying, we're Jewish, but we reject these tenets. And he said, no, let's lay them out. What are the 13 tenets that are necessary to believe in if you say you're believing in Judaism? If you don't believe in these 13, you don't believe in Judaism. So those are the 13, and they're in the back of the Siddur. But in the front, here in Yigdal, is where they're rendered in poetic form. Okay, now we have the morning blessings. So that was the preliminary stuff. Now is the first chunk is the morning blessings. Originally, these morning blessings were said as we did the thing, whatever it was. So we'll just look at them quickly. So here's where there's a blessing on washing the hands. If you're going to set aside time for prayer and you're about to pray, this is when you wash your hands ritually the same way you do for bread. So you pick up your cup, fill it up, and it's 1-2, 1-2. That's a different washing than the back and forth. Cemetery washing, by the way, is the same as the morning washing, because that's in connection with death. So when you leave a cemetery, you do the 6 or 8. But the washing for this Al Netilat Yadayim is 2 on each side, just like for bread, or if you're Sephardic, 3 on each side, just like for bread.
Is it 1-2?
Yes, 1-2. Yes, like that. It's not back and forth, not alternating. So 2 on the right, 2 on the left. Again, this is the posture of how you hold your hand. Like this, like a drooping ballerina, because you want the water to cover the whole hand. You can also hold it like you're holding a cup, like this. Some people hold their hands like this, as if they're grasping something, but with the wrist down, so the water doesn't run down to your elbow, but you want to be able to go from wrist all the way to fingertips with the wash.
So if you do go through the whole morning, like if you daven shachrit, you really should wash your hands twice if you're going to start with Birchot HaShachar.
Yes, yeah. After you get dressed and everything, that's when you wash again. So when you're like ready to daven. So some people will do this washing in shul, and some people will do this washing, let's say, the second time they go to the bathroom. They wake up, they do negel vasser. That first washing is called negel vasser. They go to the bathroom, they come out, they get dressed. Then when they're fully dressed, sometimes you have to go to the bathroom again. That's when you might do the nitilat yadayim with the, I mean, wash your hands with
the
blessing.
You could do this one. You could wash your hands in the bathroom and then say the prayer after you leave the bathroom.
You don't say the prayer in the bathroom ever.
Right.
So you say the prayer when you leave. Yeah, so you could do two.
Right.
It's better really to do it in the kitchen or a place where there's,
yeah,
it's not the bathroom,
right,
if you can.
Right.
But if you're going to say the prayer, then you dry them outside. So you say the prayer al netilat yadayim. Just so you know, al netilat yadayim means on the lifting of the hands. So when you say the prayer, you say the beginning part, and then you say al netilat yadayim. You've lifted your hands. You raise your hands up a little bit, and then you dry them.
Translated washing.
It's idiomatic translation, but it's actually lifting, like al netilat lulav, right? The lifting of the lulav, picking up. That's the whole mitzvah, is picking up. That's why you pick it up backwards. Because the whole mitzvah really would be fulfilled by just picking it up. So the lifting of. Okay, so now we have a section of these. All these blessings used to be said as the thing happened. So you hear the rooster crow, and then you would say, thank you God who, let's see, I have to turn the page. I should back up, but thank you God who hears the rooster crowing. Then you would get up, wash your hands, and you'd go to the bathroom, and you'd say this blessing, Asher Yitzar. Going to the bathroom. Then you have this whole long list. I don't have much time. Let me just say a word on Asher Yitzar. Asher Yitzar is a really beautiful blessing, and it really pays to study the whole thing. We'll have to do that another time, but I do want to point out one thing. This blessing, which is said every time after you go to the bathroom, all day long, so it's good to memorize it if you can, or carry a little card. They have little cards that have it. It's a special blessing, thanking God that everything was working properly. We have holes, we have tubes, we have cavities. If one would be open, that's supposed to be closed. If one would be closed, that's supposed to be open. It wouldn't be good for us. Would not be good for us.
Where is that?
That's what it's in Asher Yetzar.
Where is it?
It's right after Netilat Yadayim. I'm sorry, I jumped because I saw the Asher. Yep, Asher Yetzar.
Okay.
Right. So thank you, God, for creating a person with wisdom. And you created nikevim, nikevim, chalalim, chalalim. So cavities, holes, or openings and holes. And you could think of it down to the cellular level, because we have all these little holes all over us. I mean, it's not just intestines, and it's not just stomach, it's not just mouth, it's not just eyes and ears, but all the holes, all the openings, everything that we have, they have to function correctly. They have to be open at the right time and closed at the right time. Think of all the cellular barriers in between and all the osmosis that occurs. So things have to go through cells at certain times. Vitamins should come in, but toxins shouldn't. I mean, it's a huge system. So this gives us the opportunity when we go to the bathroom to stop for 20, 30 seconds a few times a day, less for guys, more for girls, a few times a day. And I think that might be rigged also, because since the guys have more davening that they have to do, at least this gives women the opportunity a few times extra a day to stop and say, thank you for creating me with incredible wisdom and for making everything work how it should. It's really amazing that my body is working, and I don't even have to think about it. Okay. In my book, the next thing that comes is the blessing of the Torah. Right, is that what you have next? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is obligatory basically for men and women. Even though women do not have the mitzvah of studying Torah like men do, they still do have the requirement to study Torah. Men and women study Torah for different reasons. Men study to connect. Women study to know. So men, for instance, can fulfill their mitzvah by studying about sacrifices or about all kinds of esoteric stuff that they don't even need to know and won't be able to apply. Fine for them. Women can study that if they're curious about it. But women study so they should know. So women study for two reasons. One is to know what to do, and two is to desire to do it. Right? That's why women study Torah. To know what to do and to desire to do it. So the desire to do it part is where that's completely up to you. Maybe you don't need to study anything to be able to desire. You love it, and all you need is just to straight know the halacha, and that's it. And maybe you're super curious, and you need to study the Gemara inside out to be able to desire to do it. You're allowed to, if that's why you're doing it. So it depends. There's the whole gamut for women. Women get to pick how much they want to study Torah, depending on I know it's a long conversation. You can ask me later. It's a long conversation. But women have to study so they can know what to do and desire to do it. So that's completely subjective. Every woman has to find her own place. Men have to study all the time. They don't get a break except to do the stuff they have to do. Run a family, run a business, you know, make whatever money they need to make. But they don't get to just say, I feel like just hanging out for the afternoon. They can't just, they have to say, I need to hang out so that I can fortify myself, so that I can study more later. But a woman can just say, I feel like going out to lunch with the girls. And she doesn't have to do that so she can do more later. She could just do it. So it's different obligations. Anyway, everybody is obligated in saying this blessing. This blessing for women fulfills your minimum daily requirement of prayer. For men, it does not. But for women, this does include minimum daily requirement for women is praise, request, and thanks. This blessing has it. Thank you, God, for giving us the Torah. Please sweeten it in our mouths. Praise you for giving us the Torah. Please sweeten it in our mouths. Thank you for choosing us from among the nations. You're good to go. Right? You've got praise, request, and thanks in this blessing. Now, an interesting thing is, rats, there's so much to get to. Okay, I'm not going to be able to go into that interesting thing. You have to ask me next time. We have a short study session after we say this prayer because you don't bless without partaking of the sweet thing. Right? So you don't just say, Bori Pri Ha'etz, you know, thank you for creating fruits of the tree without eating an apple or some kind of fruit. And you can't eat the apple without saying the blessing. So we can't study Torah or really lead a Torah life, which includes studying and conversing in Torah all day long without saying the blessing. So we say it first thing in the morning. We immediately follow it up with a little bit of study. So we have something from the written law, something from the Mishnah, something from the Talmud that follows it immediately so that we've done some studying. Next, Elokai Neshama. Different sitters have this in different places. In your Ashkenazic sitter, you probably have this prayer right after Asher Yetzar. So, and that is, my God, the soul you placed within me is pure.
It's on the next page for most people.
Is it?
Probably page 18.
Yeah, let me just point out, for those people who are aware of the map that we did chart out, this is fascinating because our soul also comes down to us through those levels. So if you imagine our soul, we're sleeping. Our soul is on the very highest level right next to Hashem, so it's in world number 4, right, that top world of Atzilut. And then it has to come down through, because it's right with Hashem, getting all those gifts that we can use for the day. So we know that we're well-tooled for every day when we wake up, so we've got the gifts at night, and then it has to come down through the levels so that we can use it, right? So that's what this says. God, the soul you created and put in me is pure. Here we go. You created it. That's level number 3. You fashioned it, level number 2. You breathed it into me, level number 1. Look in the Hebrew, atah barata, that's the world of bria. Atah yetzarta, that's the word of yetzira. Atah nefachta, you blew it into me, that's the word of asiya, of doing. That's actually how it gets there, right? So it's up in the top world, and it comes down through the layers until we have it for use during the day. And you'll guard it within me. So this is just, it's a beautiful prayer also. So usually we say this in juxtaposition with Asher Yetzar. So thank you for my body working and thank you for putting a soul into my body. Are these two prayers, one after another. Then there's this whole long list of blessings, the morning blessings. Let's see what I want to tackle here because we're almost at the end. All right, each one of these blessings, and I'm sorry, you're going to have to look and either take another class or do some reading on your own to find out the depths of all of them, but they're really beautiful. So the first one would be said when you hear the rooster crowing, but it's also an illusion for our understanding of the difference between darkness and light, meaning good and bad. Thank you, God, for waking me up in the morning and giving me a brain that helps me discern between positive and negative. That's the first thing you have to really say before you can start to pray, because all that stuff is for the pre-prayer prayers. And now we're starting to pray, but you first have to have seichel before you can pray properly. So the first blessing is thank you for seichel. The next three are in the negative for men or for women. Two are in the negative, one in the positive. So let's take these three as a group. Thank you for not making me a Gentile. Thank you for not making me a slave. Thank you for not making me a woman, for a man. Some prayer books have them switched into the positive. Thank you for making me a Jew. Thank you for making me free. Thank you for making me. I don't know how they say it. Thank you for making me according to your will. We don't say it that way because who's to say I'm behaving like a Jew? All I could say is I'm not a non-Jew. Who's to say I'm really free? All I could say is I'm not a slave. And for a man, who could say I'm really a man? All I could say is I'm not a woman. But I can't say that I am a man. Have I achieved it? No. Women, on the other hand, also can't say they're free and also can't say that they're really behaving Jewishly, but they can say that they are created more in accordance with God's will. So that's, we don't have to say that third one in the negative. Men are born where they have to be fixed upon birth. They need a circumcision. Women don't. They don't need that initial fixing. So we're in the covenant right away. It's not that women aren't part of the covenant. They don't need the tikkun. They don't need the repair work that a man needs to be part of that, to enter into the covenant. So they can say, thank you for creating me in accordance with your will. I'm born the way you want me to be. A man is not born the way God wants him to be. He has to first change something as a baby. So it can be seen, many women see it in the negative, how could a man say such a thing? But there is a positive twist to it. In addition to that fact, each of these blessings is saying I have an advantage, I have a mitzvah advantage. So a man has a mitzvah advantage over a woman. He has more commandments than she does. He needs more commandments than she does, but he has more. So he has the opportunity to generate more schar in that way, more reward in that way. So he is thankful for that opportunity. And he is thankful for not being a woman. It's rough being a woman. And, you know, if you look around the world, women are the ones, you don't hear in Darfur about all the men being raped. You hear about women being raped. You know, so in prisons you hear about the men too. But in general, it's the women who are vulnerable, the women who are weaker, the women who really take it on the chin in divorces. If they're single, if they're widowed, we don't see all kinds of things in the Torah that says, please protect the widower. Right? It's the orphan and the widow. It's the alone woman. Take care of her. She needs extra care. So, because women are more vulnerable, and a man is thankful, and rightfully so, that he doesn't have those challenges. It doesn't mean women are bad, but there's a challenge to being a woman. So he's thankful to not be faced with those challenges, which can make it harder to observe Torah. Okay, then the rest are give sights to the blind. So that would have been said when we open our eyes. Who clothes the naked? That would have been said when we put on our clothing. Who releases the bound? That would have been said when we stand up. No, when we wake up. Who straightens the bent when we stand up? Who spreads the earth out upon the waters? I think that one and who firms man's footsteps are both said when you take your first steps, getting out of bed. Who has provided me with my every need? That's when you put on your shoes. Who girds Israel with strength? That's when you put on your belt. Who crowns Israel with splendor? That's when you put on your head covering. And this one, who gives strength to the weary. Let's stop here for just a minute. Okay, so you could see how those kind of fit in. There's lots more to say on them, but I'm going to end on this one for tonight, unfortunately. This is interesting. This one was added in the Crusades. Rabbi Soloveitchik did not say this one. Not that I'm a follower of Rabbi Soloveitchik, but I'm reading a book written by one of his followers, so I didn't realize that. He didn't say this one. This was added in during the Crusades. This is an interesting one. I was spiritually struggling at a time in my life and went for a bracha, and the rabbi that I went to said, say this blessing with extra kavana, who gives strength to the weary. This is not about tired and waking up. This is about losing your energy to move forward. So in the Crusades, people were losing their energy to move forward. It had been a long exile already. The Crusades are about 1,000. So the temple is destroyed. Jews into exile. All the other exiles had been pretty short. Even Egypt. Egypt was the longest so far. That was 240 years. Babylon was 70 years. Greece was just a few years. Persian Mede, that was just a few years. Now it's 1,000 years long of exile already. A lot of bad stuff going on. And the Crusades, the worst yet. You know, just one year after another, just being overrun and Jews being herded into synagogues. And that's when all the really bad stuff started, burning them down with all the inhabitants. Just miserable. And people were starting to lose the energy and the hope for redemption. So this blessing was added in. Thank you, God, for giving strength to the weary. So anybody who's having a hard time with anything, this blessing is very helpful to say. It gives a lot of strength to the weary. It's psychic strength. here. Hanotein Yayef Koach. A Yayef is somebody who's spiritually, it's not Ayef, Yayef. It's the same word as Ayef, tired, but Yayef is weary, innerly weary. Right, so that was that in the Crusades. I'd love to say more. Oh, the one more thing I do want to say tonight, sorry, is in Psukei Dezimra, because I promise you I'd tell you another translation for that word, the verses of praise. The purpose of these verses of praise is also Zimra. Mazmer means to prune. A mazmer is a pruner. Zimra is also pruning. So it's Zimra, like Zimiros, is songs. But Lezamir is also to prune something. So the purpose of these songs in Psukei Dezimra is to prune our thoughts so that we, everything is channeled. Pruning, what does pruning do? It takes away extraneous stuff so that the energy of the plant can be channeled for better growth upwards. So that's what's happening in these songs of praise, the songs of pruning, is that we're, through the praise process, we're pruning our thoughts, taking away what's extraneous, so that we can channel our tefillah energy upward into the next level. And that's where we'll end for tonight. And we'll pick up with Psukei Dezimra, another word on that, and we'll move into the Shemanitz blessings next week.